Afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of the Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the music industry. My guest today is lead singer of the Sixes, Vladdy. Oh, I'm going to butcher his name, even though he has told me how to pronounce it. Vladdy, why don't you tell us what your name is supposed to be pronounced?
Sure thing. My name is Vladdy Isakov.
Okay. From here on in, I'm just going to call you Vladdy, if that's okay.
That sounds good to me. I'm also joined by our guitarist, Paul Sora.
Okay, Paul, that's a name I can wrap my head around. Paul, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here, Simon. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's all my pleasure. I have to say that I have a deep love of prog rock, but before we go there, let's start at the beginning. In fact, before we get into the Sixes, Vladdy, I have to admit that I have never considered Atlanta, Georgia, as a hub of prog rock music. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you became involved with music.
Well, I got started in music at a very early age. I was 3 years old when I started taking violin lessons. My mother was a musician. She's a classically trained piano player. And, I guess around three years old, they saw some musical potential, and they started giving me violin lessons, and I've been doing that ever since. After we moved from the former Soviet Union to the United States, we moved straight to Atlanta, and I continued my studies. I went, when I was in high school, I did the whole All-States Orchestra and the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra, just kind of did that whole thing, and eventually by the time I got to college, full pursuit, I got my violin performance and music education at Columbia State University, and it was pretty much the last couple of years of college is when I really, really started getting into rock and into, like, live bands and all that, and in 2006, actually it was June 6th of 2006, interesting, the 060606. That's when actually this whole project, this band, started, and that's where we get our name from, the Sixes. There's nothing demonic about it. It just happens to be a strange coincidence, but, you know, it's something that we wanted to capitalize on nevertheless. And
it would be fair to tag you as being classically trained.
Absolutely. That's all I've done, all the way until this project got started. I was heavily, heavily involved in classical music and, just playing in orchestras and doing that whole thing. And like I said, it's only last couple of years, maybe in college, that I really got into rock, and I was in and out of bands all the time, but they were just, local bar bands and just kind of having fun. And eventually, it just became more and more and more serious. And, here I am now, I guess, 7 years later, and I have, a very, very amazing, amazing band with amazing musicians. And it's been a long journey, but it's definitely been worthwhile.
The reason I mentioned classically trained is I don't know how many hundreds of interviews I've done with musicians, and there's definitely one common thread when it comes to prog music. Generally, they have a classical training. I don't know why it is. I wouldn't even dare to put forward an idea, but that there is this thread. Paul, how about you? What's your background?
As far as music goes, I'm pretty new in the music business. I was an athlete growing up, and music kind of found me along the way. I moved to Atlanta in 2009 and went to Atlanta Institute of Music and graduated from there in 2010. And I've pretty much just been playing and teaching full-time in the Atlanta area and regionally since then. And I've been recording at Vladdy's home studio, and he ended up needing a guitar player for the tour with Wishbone Ash, and I couldn't turn it down, so I jumped on the boat, and here we are now.
Okay, and so, I think you just have added fuel to my fire. Both of you obviously have had some serious musical training. You're not the garage band.
No, and that the same also goes for our drummer and our bass player and all the musicians that have ever been associated with our band. We really do take pride in whoever it is that we bring in to help us along the way is that they are a solid trained musician, not just no amateurs, no somebody that's professional, not only playing ability but also how they conduct themselves, how they carry themselves. So, make sure we get the top-notch player and person. So, yeah.
That is a great idea. I've heard some horrible music in my time. And, I think we've teased the audience enough. How would it be if I was to play a track from your new CD? I believe it's self-titled as The Sixes. Believe. Would that be okay with you guys?
That's a great track. That'd be great.
One of my favorites.
Okay. Well, here it goes.
Sorry.
it's a great track. And
thank you.
Yeah, you know, I love to pigeonhole bands, you know, because that's what us, you know, reviewers do. Where do you put yourselves? You know, who do you think you sound like?
Huh, that's a good question. You know, we've heard people compare us to many different types of bands. I mean, we've heard Muse, we've heard Rush, we've heard Alice in Chains, we've heard Soundgarden, System of a Down, lots of the grungier, I guess, bands. To me, the perfect example of like that shining example of a band that I personally look up to and see this kind of not modeling, but definitely, you know, setting an example is definitely Rush. You know, they're the guys that you got to tip your hats to because they did it their way. They proved all the record labels wrong, and they were left alone to do what they do best, and they're still rocking, and they've been extremely successful, and, you know, finally they got the respect, they got their, you know, they people paid their dues, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and, I mean, that would be my answer. Paul?
I think the great thing about the Six is the diversity of our musical instruments, because, you know, as a guitar player, I draw a lot from the early guys, you know, Hendrix and Page and Alex Lifeson, all the way up to the more modern guitar players and modern rock guys as well. And we all have these subtle differences, but together I think that's what makes us original, is we all bring our own individuality to the table to create a selfless musical goal, if you will.
Paul, you have just... you know, it shattered my day. You know, Page and Hendrix, you know, in the past. My God, I must be getting old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 26, but it's I'm an old soul, and I feel like those guys were doing it the right way, and... They played their guitar with a vengeance, and that's what needs to come back.
Vladdy, it's clear that you know that there's at least three of you on the CD,
mm-hmm.
but I suspect that there are others. So, you know. Who else contributed to the creation?
Well, I guess, you know, we were a core three-piece group. It was just myself, Mark Golden, our bass player, and Jay Bake, our drummer. And then, you know, we were, our sound in general, just kind of going back a little bit, just to kind of clarify a few things, but it was very eclectic. And we got... hooked up with Malcolm Springer, who produced this, these songs for us, and he kind of turned us into this power rock trio. And when we started playing live, recording the CD is one thing, but when you're doing it live, it needs to have more, I think, more power and more emotion. And a lot of times, you know, playing guitar and singing can take away from either one of those two things. In my case, so we decided to add a couple of musicians here and there, and Paul was one of the guys that we picked up that's been filling in as a lead guitarist for us, and, you know, we've gelled together very, very, very well, and we're about to, you know, after we're done touring here in a little while, we're going to go into the studio and do some more work with it.
Okay, it seems to me, I'm basing this on, you know, less than reliable information, that you all multitask, you know, violin, guitar, piano, you can do it all.
Yeah.
You know, right. That works great in the studio, but how on earth do you do it live?
Well, that was biggest reason for why we decided to get a few more, you know, a few extra musicians in there. Paul actually is one of them. We also have another guitarist named Cameron Allen. That's going to be that also does some work for us. That's helping us out. But you know, me being behind the mic and having to play a lot of this guitar stuff, you know, it really wasn't working because it was really limiting everything that I could do. But now having two more guys that are in there, you know, handling down the guitars, it frees me up to play my violin, which is my natural instrument, piano, which also is kind of, they go hand in hand because, you know, when you're learning, in the Russian school anyways, when you're learning in any instrument, the piano is always accompanied with that because that's like the standard level of education. Everybody needs to know piano because that's how everybody starts. Visual, it's right there. You don't need to worry about intonation. But, you know, as a music education major, I had to do, you know, piano proficiency, have a certain degree of playing piano. And, again, when it comes to the live show, it definitely opens me up to do more than just having to play guitar and sing.
Paul, let me guess. You probably play 8 million, in instruments as well.
I play a lot of instruments, and I also like to play with a lot of open tunings as well to take myself out of stereotypical guitar player mentality. You know, when I play with open tunings, it always kind of, I feel like I'm playing a different instrument of sorts. Other mandolin, dobro, I do some bass, all kinds of stuff.
Well, when you say open tuning, I know that a lot of people don't understand what that means. Want to give us a thumbnail sketch?
Definitely. So in open tuning, you know, with guitar, you have chords that you play, but when you take your guitar and tune it to the notes of the actual chord that you're playing, you can strum it without fretting any notes, and it's already that chord. So it kind of shifts your shapes and your typical patterns to different areas. So you can kind of, anyways, for me, it helps me get out of the typical guitar player shapes and opens my mind more to playing from my head and from my what I'm hearing in my soul, if you will, as opposed to just premeditated licks from my bedroom.
Right. Vladdy, I'm going to ask you a really tough question, and there is no right answer. The difference between playing live and dinking around in the studio is night and day. In the studio, you can fiddle. You can mess, you can edit, you can overlay. You can't do that on the live stage. What is your favorite venue?
Ooh, yeah, definitely a tough question. You know what? It's like apples and oranges, I think. When you're in the studio, for me personally, coming from a classical background, and having studied, you know, the great classical composers, you know, Beethoven, and you know, going through the, the theory behind, you know, symphonies and his works, and just kind of knowing the structure, gets so interesting because it just opens the world up because you get to try out different instrumentations, and you're really trying to paint a masterpiece, and you're trying to, you know, you have so much available to you, and it's all about the artistic side. When you're playing live, it's all about that raw, powerful emotion of like in the moment type of thing, that lightning in a bottle, you know, emotion in the moment type of thing. And it's, I mean, they're just different feelings completely. I mean, I personally love sitting in the studio, trying new things and bringing whatever's in my head, I guess, out to, follow along with the song. You know, it's just, it's different. I personally love the studio. But of course, you know, live performance has its place also. But
oh, the live performance has that electricity about it.
Yeah.
You're engaging the audience.
But
it's, well, almost impossible to recreate, you know, a studio sound, you know, where you've, you know, brought in levels of editing and, you know, session musicians. You physically can't do it on the stage. But
see, that's the charm in live performance is that, like, it's real. I mean, I don't want to talk, you know, badly about other, you know, art forms of music, you know, like the, you know, but a lot of times when you see, like, pop stars, I mean, with all the backing tracks and this and that, yeah, I mean, people get a certain emotional thrill out of it. But as a musician that's been, you know, I mean, you don't get tracks in an orchestra. I mean, you're hearing everything live, you know, coming from that background. You have to do your best in recreating, you know, whatever you're going to be playing, you know, for real. It's that real sound. And I think definitely it's not perfect. And I think that's the whole charm of playing live. It doesn't have to sound like the CD, nor do we want it to sound like the CD. You know, it's not supposed to be. When people pay a full ticket price to go see your band play, why would they want to just? I know some people would want to just kind of listen to what was already recorded, but you know, there's so much more that could be done, and I think that's one of the things that we definitely bring to the table. We take our time. We like to explore the song, you know, try out different things, and you know, really make it an experience.
I wasn't leaning one way or the other, right? I was just asking the question.
Right.
Now, I'm an old guy, yeah, 57. So I remember the 70s quite well. Definitely my passion has been and always has been prog rock. I understand that somehow you guys managed to hook up with Wishbone Ash. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, the tour with Wishbone Ash, we couldn't have asked for a better first European tour, because those guys are just the epitome of pure professionals. You know, they've been doing it in this real stealthy way for 40 years, and to have an opportunity to be on the road with guys like that every day, who are really setting an example of how to carry yourself and how to conduct a career in this business, which is not the easiest thing to do. And you know, to be around them every day and watch how they conduct themselves and how they go out every night and just put on a great show, regardless of the size of the venue, like, it's about their fans and their relationship with them. And it was just an absolute honor to be around them and see just how they conduct business.
I don't have my vinyl collection right in front of me, but I do know that I have that they're at least their first two albums, Wishbone Ash, which self-titled, came out in 1970, and Resurrection, which I believe came out in 71. Oh, Lord, I am getting old. And I like them then, and I like them today. So let's move on, and how about we play another track? How does Snake in the Grass sound?
Sounds good. Very, 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 very strong and personal song, but it's a very good song.
Okay. All right, here it goes.
Serpent that I had a chance to know. She hides behind your eyes and grin, with good intentions, very few, so far between. And I only wish I had another 30 chance to leave before we had begun. I want to rip your dirty tongue and serve it to my darling, precious, dying, unborn son. Could you sell me for a dime? Expect something in return. I'll give you immortality, but in hell you will burn.
You probably don't have a Moog, but I'm sure you have a good arsenal.
Yeah, actually, our bass player does use it, so he's got a move for his bass.
Perfect. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I need to shift into the absolutely shameless commercialization phase. Where can people buy the CD?
Well, they can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's definitely on iTunes. You get it online.
Okay. What would someone search for?
Search for our name, The Sixes, spelled S-I-X-X-I-S, Palindrome of Six. Just search us on there, our website, www.thesixes.com, and also on Facebook, on Reverb Nation, on MySpace, on Twitter, pretty much all the social media outlets that there are. And definitely find us.
I already asked this question, but I'm going to ask it a second time. In reality, do you prefer the studio or the stage?
Well, for me, Simon, the stage is where it's at, because it's such this intertwined energy of the audience and the state and the musicians, to where you're all committing to this night of a good time, where you can leave anything you're dealing with outside the door and come in for an hour and a half to 3 hours, and that's all that matters, is the music and the interaction between the band and the crowd.
And to me, it's probably the studio, because it's the more creative aspect of just kind of messing around with different things. So,
I find it interesting that that there's such a difference in views.
Well, just to kind of throw this in there, I think one of the things that does make this band unique is the fact that every member of the band, and anybody that's ever tried to be involved with our music, they all come from different races and I guess social levels, religions. Like, it's always been this like melting pot of personalities and musicians and beliefs and just everything. And again, it's one of those things that music can bring together, and it's that result you get at the end. Everybody has a different opinion, a different influence, a different life view, but that's what makes us as a whole, what we are and who we are.
Okay, and I am flat out of time. The producer is squawking in my ear, as she likes to do, but I tend to ignore her. If you had a parting thought for us, what would it be? And I'm going to ask both of you that question.
Parting thought, Paul?
Parting thought would be, check us out on this upcoming tour in Europe with the Winery Dogs, starting September 5th in London, England, and we'll be hitting 8 countries within about a month. And we're very excited about it. Please check us out.
I'll probably have the same thought.
Same thought. Oh, you guys have been playing together too long. you're in lockstep. but seriously, I want to thank you for talking to me today, and I'm sure that I speak for all of the people listening on Blog Talk Radio in wishing you every success, and please let me know what happens after your European tour. How many countries are you heading to?
We're playing about 8 different countries. So starting all over Western Europe, and we end up in Portugal. So.
Wow. Most people think it's kind of cute to play 2 gigs in Minnesota, but no, obviously you have bigger ideas.
We're trying. We're doing our best.
Okay. Till next time. Please, have a happy and safe trip. And as I said, please let me know what the results are. And we will talk again at a later date.
All right, thanks, Simon. We'll hopefully talk to you at the end of September and let you know how the tour went.
Perfect. Okay. This is Simon Barrett signing off, and we will be back with these roustabouts when they return from their tour. Until then, goodbye.